Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
I think Blaine has a good rapport with the tight ends. I think it's a pretty darn good group of tight ends.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Today we'll talk to Steve about the 49ers' 37-18 loss in Seattle, but first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Well, Steve, when you look at the 49ers' loss to the Seahawks, it's really hard to come up with any positives. I mean, it really was a tough one if you're a 49ers fan or if you're in a 49ers uniform. Just the way Seattle started right off the bat, driving down the field, scoring a touchdown. And you know, the first play the 49ers ran, it was a busted play. I mean, Blaine Gabbert turns around. There's nobody there to hand the ball off to. So, I mean, when you get off to a bad start like that, it's got to be hard to even recover from it, isn't it?
Yeah, it obviously was for them on Sunday. You see that first play, and I watched it a couple times. Like, wait a minute, Blaine, how did you not know that he wasn't standing next to you?
Right, you'd hear him breathing at least.
So from the get go, it was not good, and. Seattle's defense, I thought, was really good. The 49ers offensively, and they were, you know, again, I know we've talked about it already, but you know, you're trying to run the ball in between the tackles, and they got eight guys in the box, and it's just not going to work.
No, and you could look at the final numbers, and they're not indicative of the game because, you know, Carlos Hyde runs for 100 yards, but a lot of that was later. I mean, you look at the first 47 minutes of the game, as the San Francisco Chronicle was pointing that out a lot. That 47 minutes, they had 3 points, 5 first downs, 132 yards, 0 for 10 on third down. They just never could get it going.
No, they really couldn't. And, you know, I watched it again on replay last night. Because they recorded it, and I don't know if it was you I was talking with about, and they commented during the game about that Chip Kelly's up-tempo offense isn't necessarily as up-tempo as it has been.
Right.
And it's not just Chip Kelly. Actually, I think it was Jeep Chris that I might have been talking with about this, and that is that, okay, we're not going to huddle. We're going to go to the line of scrimmage. You know, we're going to get a play. We're going to go to the line of scrimmage, and then we're going to give a dummy cadence, and then all 11 guys on offense are going to stand up and look toward the sideline for the next play, for the audible play.
Yeah, that's slow.
So you get to the line of scrimmage with, you know, 30 seconds, you give the dummy audible, you look back, and now it's 15 seconds, which is about the same time that you would be coming out of the huddle.
Right.
Had you huddled. So that's one of the things that, okay, you know, that's fine if that's what you want to, you know, if that's what you want to be, and that's what a lot of people are these days offensively. But there's also there's a rhythm to getting in the huddle, calling the play, coming out of the huddle, and, you know, whether it was Bill Walsh or Mike Holmgren or Paul Hackett, you know, that I played for in the West Coast offense, our offense was always up-tempo, not that we were going always going to the line of scrimmage. When we did go to the line of scrimmage, we called the play ourselves.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It was some basic routes that we knew like the back of our hand, and didn't matter what they were doing, we were going to execute them.
And you can get it off quickly.
That's up tempo. That's no huddle. But I guess my point is that, okay, how do you? There's two points that I'm trying to make here. One is how do you get tempo when you're not huddling, go to the line of scrimmage, call a dummy audible, and then everybody stands up, including linemen, looking at the sideline, you know, leaning back. Okay, let me look for my guy. And the guy on the sideline is calling a play for you.
Yeah.
So, okay, he's getting feedback from the box. The guy in the press box can see the field a little bit better. But no one can see it or feel it as well as the quarterback, which is, I guess, my second point that, okay, why can't – and it's not just – I'm not just picking on the 49ers and Blaine. It's rampant across the NFL. It's even more ridiculous in college. Train the quarterback to call those audibles. I mean, why can't Blaine? He's standing there, you know, 5 yards back. He sees there's 8 guys in the box. He's got a run play called. Audible out of it. Get out of it. Throw the ball. Just, you know, somebody's in man coverage out there. Just, you know, launch it out there to him and let him go 1-on-1.
Isn't that what Tom Brady does or what Peyton Manning did? I mean, experienced guys, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, I'm coming from an era, obviously, that's how they did train us. And I get that in college they can't spend as much time with kids and, you know, so on and so forth. So the coaches are more more educated, more adept of seeing, you know, what their, you know, weekly opponents are doing. But it just it drives me crazy that there's all these up tempo offenses, but they're still getting the ball off with 5 or 6 seconds on the clock, on the game clock.
Right.
So
it's really not
play clock. I mean, so you know, give me the West Coast offense in and out of the huddle, you know, and allow me to get a rhythm of calling the play, going to the line of scrimmage, you know, blah, blah, blah. Hence, a la, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles right now.
Yeah. Well, the Eagles are so in sync, even though they have a rookie quarterback. And, you know, the 49ers just don't seem to be, like you said. I mean, they're, you know, supposed to be up-tempo, but they're really not. And they're just embarrassing moments, not just that opening snap, but how about, you know, you throw to Quentin Patton, and he does, not only does he not catch it, he kind of flips the ball up in the air, interception. You throw to Sean Drone, he's not even ready for it. I mean, he's like, he had no idea that ball was coming to him.
No,
so it doesn't look like an NFL team at times.
Yeah, there were. I would completely agree. There were a few spots where they either weren't expecting it, or maybe they were expecting it sooner, because there were a few balls that were thrown, and there was some sort of, you know, and they were quick, like drag routes or slant routes, and I was like, that's late, and okay, so maybe the guy's, he was expecting it earlier, now he's not expecting it. To your point, there were probably a handful of them that that were not good. Those receivers, I think we talked about this last week, that, you know, especially Torrey's a speed guy, just so much better off on the outside of the hashes.
Yeah.
You know, or outside the numbers. They just are not comfortable on these crossing routes. And one of the things that jumped out at me watching the replay last night was the Niners have a bunch of guys in like 3 guys in a small proximity. You know what I mean? They're close together. They're not spaced out well enough.
When they're lining up, yeah.
Not so much when they're lining up, but
when they're out on their routes.
When they're on their routes, I mean, they got crossing guys, and they And I was like, several times playing with someone the ball, and I was thinking to myself, well, shit, who's he throwing to? Excuse me. Who's he throwing to? You know, it's like three guys. You
right.
Know? Montana used to joke that it was the Cowboys offense. Just get three guys in a line, you know, 5 yards, 10 yards, 15 yards, and throw it, and one of them will catch it.
One of them will catch it, yeah.
Well, yeah, the thing is, too, and I know we've had this discussion before, is that, and a lot of people, I think, are talking about how if it's 3rd and 10 or 3rd and 8, there'll be a receiver about 5 yards down the field, you know, for the 3rd and 8, let's say. And I understand that, yeah, you could make a play and get the first down, but too many times they come up short where they just don't have a chance to get that first down because of where it's thrown. And I don't know that I'm blaming Blaine so much for that, but it's just too many times where you're just not going to be able to get the first down, especially against a team like Seattle. I mean, there's somebody all over you as soon as you catch it.
And to that point, That was vintage Pete Carroll. I'm going to bring five. I'm going to play man free, and my DBs, my corners are better than your guys. My cover guys are better than your guys, and,
right.
and I'm just going to drape them. You know, and that's to me. That's basically what they did.
Well, I mean, yeah, there was really also no respect for Blaine Gabbert when you read the comment. I don't know if you saw this comment from Michael Bennett, the defensive end from the Seahawks. He said, about the challenge of facing the quarterback. He said, there is no challenge. He threw for 100 yards. I think Kaepernick gives the team a better chance to win. That's the opposing defensive end saying that.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to say I agree. I think Kaepernick does give them a better chance. I don't know if he's ready, according to Coach Kelly. He's not. Kaepernick says he is ready physically, but I think you have nothing to lose at this point. They're not. I mean, I don't know. What do you think? I mean, I know it's hard to be the coach right here.
Yeah. I don't know. I personally don't think Cap is into it mentally. I don't know. That's just the impression I get.
So he may not ever be ready this year. I mean, maybe it's not physical, in your opinion.
Yeah, I just don't think he's. Honestly, I don't think he wants to play. That's just the impression I get.
Well, that's not good.
No. It's not. I mean, I hope that's not the case, but that's just. Like I said, that's the impression I get. Blaine seemed, he seemed not confused, but it didn't seem like he was seeing the field well. There were a couple balls, or I don't remember exact examples, but I do remember two or three times where I thought, he either stared that one down or... he missed the open guy. He just wasn't seeing it well.
And I think a lot of the criticism of Gabbert is that he's not willing to take chances down the field. And we heard the same thing about Alex Smith. And I got to tell you, Steve, I saw Alex Smith this past weekend. I was in Kansas City for that Chiefs game. And he does take some chances now. I think he's grown as a quarterback in that respect. Now, he's not going to be Dan Marino throwing into coverage. And, you know, you got Duper and Clayton and all that. He's not doing that. But I think Blaine needs to take more chances. Is he capable of that? Just throw the ball?
Chances. He's totally capable. And I think that I think you take chances when it's built in and coverage dictates that, okay, we either held the free safety and I'm going to take a shot at the post, or have a go route and I have, you know, a deep third corner or a man-to-man corner, and I'm going to take a shot. I'm going to put it up there and give my guy a chance to make a play on it.
Right, recognizing that you have that.
Recognizing, you know, and there's not the, in this offense, from what I can tell, there's not the big, you know, there's not the big fake of a run where you're going to, you know, send the receiver down, make it look like he's going to stalk block a corner or crack on a safety and then run right by him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. It just doesn't.
Because the threat of the run is not there the way it could be.
Yeah, the threat of the run is not there. So I guess back to my first thought, and that was you have to have shots built in to patterns, you know, and it, you know, the coverage presents itself like, okay, I'm going to, you know, I have cover two and I have a tight end in the middle and I have a fade on the outside. So I've got a shot to hit one of those two guys, you know, for a 30, 35 yard play.
You have to set it up is what you're saying. And they're not setting it up.
Yeah. It either has to be set up that way or it just has to be built into the overall pattern.
Right. And it's not there.
And it doesn't seem to be there. A lot of things seem to be, you know, it's a lot of combinations of things, high lows and ins and outs, and that's, I think, to my point earlier of, seemed like there's three guys in a two spaced too close together.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're okay, it's fine to be lined up in a bunch, you know, in a triangle of three and you know, they run the routes off them, but they seem to be getting banged up, you know, or held up, and you know, plays were not developing, and all of a sudden you have three guys in a 10x10 space.
Yeah, and they're not going to get a big gainer out of that. I mean, the longest gain they had in the air was a 20-yard pass to Curley. That's it. You know, they didn't have any big gainers.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it hurts them a lot. Back to the point of our receivers are small, and they're not comfortable in the middle. So we need, you know, McDonald and Selleck and Bell, you know, work in the middle.
Yeah, the bigger guys.
The bigger bodies.
Right.
Either that or we need Anquan back.
That would be good.
Anquan's pretty comfortable in there.
Right.
You know, not having two of those three, well, for sure, McDonald. Selleck, I think, continued to play after he got whacked in the back.
Yeah.
But... it was just was not a good one, you know. Not a good loss. They got beat.
As the San Francisco 49ers podcast with Joe Castellano and Steve Bono continues, there's more to tell you about as far as my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit TPC.com and click on Special Offers for tee time deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park.
Well, meanwhile, the defense has been a disaster. I mean, the first game was they pitch a shutout, then they give up 46 at Carolina, now 37 in this game. There were all kinds of breakdowns. I mean, you know, the beginning of the game, those big runs that Seattle had, Kristen, Michael.
Cool. They were well blocked.
Yeah, well blocked. He's got gigantic holes.
I mean, that first one, every Seahawk offender on the left side, you know, whether they were pulling from the right side or not, I mean, they were all squared up on somebody, and it was a massive hole.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. He scores, you know, touchdown right away, you know, right off the bat. I mean, 43 seconds into the game, 41-yard run. He scores another touchdown later, first quarter. I mean, before you knew it, at the half, they had 311 yards. It wasn't just the running. They had great passing. They had Baldwin getting wide open.
Yeah.
You know, he catches a touchdown. Jimmy Graham, who hadn't really been heard from much as a Seahawk, he's everywhere making catches, even ones that he shouldn't even catch. Like, I thought Eric Reed had an interception on him, and he still was able to gather it in. I mean, just everything was going wrong defensively.
Yeah. Eric needed to go get that a little bit more. He kind of waited on it, and Graham's body momentum just took them right to it.
Yeah. And you thought maybe the 49ers would put more pressure on Russell Wilson, the bad ankle and all that, and you didn't see that. I mean, he was finding his receivers.
Yeah. Yeah, just wasn't good. The Twin Towers, you know, they seem like they're the Twin Towers being
Eric Armstead and DeForest Buckner, yeah.
And Buckner and Armstead, yeah. You know, obviously it seems like they want them in there on the pass rush, which I get, especially with their length and knocking short routes down. But then it seems like you need to have Dial and Dorsey, but he's obviously not 100% in there on the on the running downs.
Right, and Dorsey wasn't bad. I mean, he's coming back from ACL.
No, that's what I mean. He wasn't bad, but it seems like when those two are in there, they've got a better chance of stopping the run. Whereas those you know the lanky the long guys they get handled a little easier on runs, at least they did on Sunday, it looked like.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, I guess the good thing about the NFL is that things can change quickly. I mean, Seattle's offense wasn't doing very well, and then all of a sudden they break it open against the Niners. Can things get corrected? I mean, on both sides of the ball, can things get?
Yeah.
Corrected to where, you know, you're not saying, okay, this is just going to be an awful season. You know, can things get a lot better from here?
I mean, I hope they get better because I thought that the one thing that was going to be pretty consistent was putting some points on the board, you know, and that we'd have to outscore people. That is still the case, obviously, giving up 46 and 37. Basically, we scored 3 points. I mean, those last two drives were, we had worn them down, I think, finally. But, I thought the offense would be a little more consistent than it has been.
Well, the offensive line is better, isn't it?
Line's way better than it was last year.
Yeah, so that's one thing. You got that. You've got Hyde, who can be explosive, but he didn't have anywhere to go early in the game, you know, first half, until garbage time, really. But I still think he's going to be a good back, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. I think so. Yeah, I think so. But I think you need, unfortunately, need Bruce Miller back there.
yeah. Well, that's the thing. They have nobody blocking for him. And is that also, is that part of the offense? Is there just not, I mean, is it because they don't have the personnel? They don't have a fullback?
Yeah. You know? In my mind, yes. I mean, you either that or you have to have that, you know, that H-back type guy that becomes your, you know, motion guy, lead blocker type. Kind of a extra pulling guard.
Yeah, and they don't have that right now, so that's something they have to get. So the Cowboys are coming to town, then Arizona, but Cowboys, and this used to be such a great rivalry back in the the 80s and 90s, and now it's not the same. But Dallas, you know, it's always when the Cowboys come in or you go there, it's always a big deal because you know they're always a competitive team. Yeah. They look pretty good with this rookie quarterback Prescott, right?
Yeah, they do. And I mean, it's still a rivalry because nobody around here likes the Cowboys. So.
Right. And they can run the ball, too, with Ezekiel Elliott. Yeah, so there's another team that's going to be tough
good.
To stop. Yeah.
And that you know, that offensive line's built for power football.
What was the emotion when you guys played the Cowboys, when you were with the 49ers?
Cool. I mean.
Going into that game, that whole week.
Especially in the early 90s when we played them. What, 3 years in a row in the NFC Championship game?
Yeah.
So, I mean, geez. It was, I mean, they were good. So, and you always knew it was going to be a tough game.
Yeah, and you had players that played for both teams, like a Deion Sanders or Charles Haley.
Yeah. So, there was no love lost, that's for sure.
No, I mean, I don't know if you saw there was an NFL Network feature on that, on those games, on that rivalry. Mm-hmm. It was really well done. I mean, you could tell the teams had respect for each other, but they really did not like each other on the field.
No. Definitely not. I mean, you got Ken Norton who came over. You know. Yeah, it's I think everybody loves playing the Cowboys.
So it should be pretty good. I mean, just thinking about, you know, the past and looking at that with this matchup coming up on Sunday.
Yeah.
And then
4 days later again.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they got to play the Thursday at home against Arizona. I mean, and that turnaround, that's something that you didn't deal with. That's got to be tough.
I did it once.
Oh, you did it once. Okay.
Dealt with it once. We played a Sunday night game in Kansas City against the Oilers, and then we played a Thursday Thanksgiving Day game in Dallas.
Oh, the Thanksgiving,
brutal.
Right.
Brutal.
It's tough on your body. I mean, your body has no time to recover before that.
Yeah, that was brutal.
Yeah. So, all right.
Definitely the hardest.
It's going to be a tough road for the 49ers, no doubt. But again, I mean, they played two really good teams. I mean, Carolina and Seattle has their number. They've won six in a row now against the Niners. I mean, you can say that they were playing some really tough teams.
There's no question. They have a tough schedule. I mean, I think it's been ranked as the toughest in the NFL. You know, so it's no party. That's for sure.
Right, and they're sticking with Gabbert. You're sticking with Gabbert. Coach Kelly's sticking with Gabbert. I'm not right now, but but we'll see. Hopefully, he improves.
Well, is he the best in the league? No, but he's a good dude, and you want to see him succeed.
Right.
You know, it's a lot. Reminds me a lot of Alex when he was younger.
Yeah, he works really hard at it. Yeah, I mean, he's definitely giving it a full effort. That's for sure.
They were way out of sorts from, like you said, from the get go.
And he does remind you of Alex a little bit when he was younger.
Yeah, he does. He does. Yeah. Yeah, he does.
And sometimes you just have to be in the right system. I mean, look, Alex. Oh, man. I think we had a graphic on Alex had like 8 offensive coordinators or something like that.
Oh, yeah, correct. Yeah. His first 8 years. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, that's it's always tough. You got to be in the right system, too.
I completely agree about that.
All right, Steve, we'll look forward to next week.
Okay.
Talk to you next Tuesday and enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the 49ers game and all the games.
Thanks. Talk to you soon.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. He'll join us each Tuesday, including next week when we talk about the 49ers game against the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday at Levi's Stadium. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on the sportsvirus.com and now on canbr.com.